There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The government is the problem.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Jackson's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, I waited for that. I waited for that. Lou, are you there? Lou, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Lou. Lou, stings the nostrils. Now I know why you played that, you little jerk. This is the Dutch Jones Show. We're in a very small, sealed-off room. I shouldn't be turning this fan up. I can't believe you did that, kid. Well, this is the Dutch Jones Show for Tuesday, August 24, 2010. As you can tell, my cold is gone. It disappeared overnight. Thank you for your prayers. I got a lot of emails, and a big chunk of them were, you know, the usual stuff that said, and we're praying for your cold. It worked. I was miserable up until about 6 a.m. this morning, and it started to break. So that was good. Oh, Lou. What was the sound effect you just played? Play it again so that people can hear what you said.
Stings the nostrils in a good way.
Stings the nostrils in a good way. No, it does not. We're down on our food supply, so we've been eating a lot of beans, rice, spaghetti. What else have we been eating? What else? What did we have last night? Oh,
I drank a lava lamp.
No, you didn't. Lava. You didn't have a lava lamp last night, Lou. We actually had the last of the meat, the hamburger. The night before that, we had canned beef and mashed potatoes, and it's just wreaking havoc on the rest of us because of poor Lou. Somebody asked if Lou had sold any of his toys. This is Tuesday. We're informal on Tuesdays. We don't have Liberty Tree Radio. It's more like a campfire roundtable. I encourage you guys to call in. I'll give the phone number out here in a minute. Lou can post it in the chat room. We do this show Monday through Friday when we can. It's about militant Christianity. It's about militia. It's about survival. It's about mocking the enemy. It's about making fun of the things that they're trying to do to us, plus be serious and confront it. It's as if we were all just meeting down at the Cracker Barrel, down at the Mercantile, you know, back in a holler somewhere down south, and we're just, you know, avoiding our responsibilities for an hour or two, playing checkers and just throwing stuff out at each other. That's why we like to, he's spelling it out, that's why we, the show isn't always the same. Yesterday, I hit it hard. I was moved by the Holy Spirit to do so. I have no apologies for it. It offended a lot of people. I got a lot of email. People, not the regulars, but I think drop-by listeners that were going, hey, wait a minute, you're talking about Christianity again. What is it with that Dutch Jones guy? I even got somebody from another radio network that asked if they could run my program. I said, knock yourself out. It was Watchmen. I don't know if one of the guests in there knows about it. I got my Facebook up if you want to contact me through Facebook. Somebody from the Watchmen contacted me. Told them they can use the show in its entirety or 1 hour at a time. Huh?
For a small fee.
No, it doesn't have to be a small fee. We don't charge for this show. This is not my job. This is a ministry. Now, as ministries are, it should give us some money for our needs. But if it doesn't, God will find some way to make it work. So, more people hear us, the better. And if everybody just sends in a couple bucks, then that's good, too. But I got a lot of emails. Boy, it's really populating there. A lot of guesties. Welcome to our Facebook listeners. Our folks listening on MySpace, I apologize to you. I've been locked out of my MySpace account. I know it's still up because I'm getting email announcements that people are contacting me there, but I can't get into it. I'll have to have Lou try it. We just found a YouTube account that I forgot about.
Yeah.
It was the Kauai Militia. I don't know why I started it. It was like a year ago. But we got rid of that. But the YouTube account's still up. Go to dutchjones.tk. We haven't done anything with it. We're working on a new video that'll be done in about 4 weeks, we'll be able to do it and get that video up. Lou's got to convert some of the recent raw footage, and I think in the next couple of days we should start working on that, Lou. We've got to get what it is. We're working on a militia recruiting video for Christian militias. I want you guys to download it and post it everywhere when it's done. And it's not to promote the show. It's to promote Christian militias. And if you listen to yesterday's show, you know that I think that's the only solution. What somebody's saying here, maybe if I work hard enough, I'll get a lot of hate mail too, Worland says. Well, you know, hey, just give out your email address on the call in. Give out your email address. I'm sure you'll get it just for calling the show. You wouldn't believe people that are just associated with me are being accused of stuff. There's this nice little old lady named Esther that sends me all kinds of stuff in the email and listens on her computer. She doesn't call in. She attends our church, and she's got people attacking her for supporting the show. And she's like, I don't know, what is she about? I don't want to give an age out and be wrong, but she's just this lovely old lady. She's got a lot of good earthy solutions. You know, what am I talking about? Like vinegar recipes and stuff for her. She gives us a lot of good input. She's always reading the news articles. And I'd say about a third of the articles I discuss are things that she sent me. I get, there's her and Dwayne sends me a bunch of stuff. I've got listeners that you guys don't see because they listen through the Facebook page. Or they listen at 2 in the morning when they have insomnia. You know how old folks are. They get up at 2 in the morning to go yell at the chickens or whatever. She says she likes to listen to me. And she gets grief for it. I found out yesterday that she gets grief for being my friend. I don't go like out getting a soda pop with her or anything, but for supporting the show. Other people, you know, have heard that she supports the show or they listen. And I'll mention, oh, Esther sent me some stuff. And they're like, how dare you do that? You know, you're causing problems. But that's just the way it is. We're going to get so much grief. Hey, Flora Dave, haven't seen you in a while. Unless you're a different Flora Dave, welcome back. I know you're our pod people. I got to do another shout-out. I haven't done that enough. And I get it. Hey, where's the love for the pod people? Pod people, we love you. We know you listen at 2 in the morning. I know Rabbit. Rabbit's king of the pod people. And I know you listen when you get off work at 7 in the morning or whatever. We miss you. We hope that your work thing works out so you can come and continue to do training with us. We're going to make a huge effort to get up to your pop's neck of the woods, and so let us know if you need anything delivered up there or if there's anything he specially needs working on his retreat up there, because we want to get back over there. Let's see what else is there. Well, the phone number 559. I'm going to say it slow again. Get ready. Get your crayons ready. Get your little Marks-a-Lots, your tagger pens, those spray paint pens that you have to shake, all you taggers out there. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And as always, you can call about anything. You can be like Rocky. Rocky, who is the reason he wants you guys to know that he's not listening every day now, is he got a job, and he's driving truck across the American West. I don't think he goes farther than the Rockies, but he's going everywhere, and he's out there, and God bless him, he found a job. He lost his job because of some deviousness, and now he's got a job, and we miss him. We wish he could have been here for the training. He was promised he'd have weekends off, but he can't. I heard he's in town now, so maybe he will tune in. Minuteman, welcome. Scotty, Olima, our archivist, thank you. And Warland, of course. Guesties 1 and 2. Is there two guesties? The two Dutch Jones, just so you know. Lose the Dutch Jones with a little asterisk, because he signs in before me. It shows up blue. Blue. Blue is Lou, and I'm the other Dutch Jones. Obama the Wannabe, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. You just popped in there. Welcome all of you. Today, I'm just kind of get some loose structure, some conceptual ideas that I want to share with you. In the news, if you guys heard, and this is something Minuteman reminded me of, I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but I talked to him last night over the phone, because he has my personal bat line. See, if you get to be a frequent contributor, you get the direct line to Lou's cell phone. And then he hands it to me, because I don't have a cell phone. I don't exist. I can't get a cell phone. So we put everything in young Lou's alter ego name. What is it? Lou Epstein? I actually know a guy named Louis Epstein. If you're a regular contributor, you help us out, I'll give you that phone number, and you can contribute that way. But everybody says, oh, Bongo's not about gun control. He hasn't done one thing to control guns. He hasn't. Well, actually, a lot of you guys don't know that under the Lend-Lease Act, under the War Powers Act, we were giving all kinds of weapons, small arms, ships, everything to our potential allies, both in the Pacific Theater and the European Theater. And every once in a while, those allies will open up a warehouse, uncover a tunnel or a cache, and find that equipment. Now, if it's stuff like tanks and things, they probably try and sell them to third world nations or whatever. But South Korea, our ally against Japan in World War II, that's World War II, the Pacific War, had a bunch of M1 Garands. I assume millions of them. If I'm wrong, Minuteman, give me that. I read the article before I came on the air, but of course my brain turns to mush as soon as Lou plays the intro. And they were going to bring them back to the United States and sell them as curio and relics through FFLs. You get them through sporting goods places, you know, out of Shotgun News. And Obongo banned it. And he's probably going to destroy them and grind them up. So Obongo is banning guns. Don't let the lefties lie to you. Don't let your Republican friends say, well, Alicia's not banning guns. He's not banning them. Well, they're not going to let those M1s come in. Now, I don't have a use for M1s. But if you don't have a gun and that's what you can afford and they're selling them like through the civilian marksmanship program for a couple $100, that would have been a great first gun to get. I don't like the top loader. I don't like the thumb busting. I don't like having, you know, to have little clips. The difference between a clip and a magazine, if you don't know. A clip holds the bullets together and it's like a stripper clip and you load it from the top and that bolt goes flying forward. I fired an M1 Garand a total of 60 rounds. I did it one time for a civilian marksmanship program clinic just to see that enough that I didn't like it. The M1A1, which is the, people call it an M14, you know, that kind of thing. It shoots the 308, not the 30-06 round. That's my weapon of choice. And I don't know if any of these are going to be those, because there may be some in there. The M14 was used a lot in the Korean conflict. I don't know if they go back as far as World War II. I'm not as much of a gun nut as I used to be. I don't remember. But I know that he's blocking those. So that was going to keep guns out of the hands. It would have been legally... He said he didn't want them to end up in street gangs' hands. Well, they would have gone through FFLs. They would have gone through dealer-to-dealer sales. You wouldn't be able to just go buy one. It's not like they were going to take them to flea markets and start selling them, little Korean guys, sell them out of the liquor stores in L.A., although I have no problem with that. If everybody's well-armed, we wouldn't have a whole lot of crime. Speaking of things going on in the Pacific Rim, if you guys want to comment on that, give us a call, 559-561-8225. The tragedy in the Philippines, the standoff where a police officer went nuts, took a busload of Chinese tourists that were in the Philippines and killed 8 of them before being killed himself. And the Philippine police just handled it terribly. He was able to kill 8 people before the snipers were to get them, and negotiations went bad. If you read a bunch of stuff on it. We can go into that in detail if you want to later. But basically, the media over the radio let it be known that the police were harassing his family. So he said, "Okay, you want to harass my family? This is over." And the reason he took the hostages is he wanted his job back. He got fired for some reason for abuse and mishandling prisoners. So to prove that he was a good cop, he took a busload of tourists hostage. Prime example of bad training on the part of the police, unarmed citizenry, and rogue police officers. And watch that formula starting to take place here in America. We were having returning soldiers kill their families. We're having cops. I told you about that story here. I think it was last week or the week before. A police officer in uniform goes into the dispatch office in Madera up here and beats up his wife in front of everybody who was a dispatcher for the sheriff's department. And this is like the third or fourth time he's abused people. Warland saying he would have liked to have tried out an M1. Yeah, some people love them. And I'm not, you know, some people say they're the greatest weapon ever made, that it won World War II for us. I just don't like it. I'm not a big fan of large caliber semi-automatics. I'm a bolt guy, that's true. If I had to have a semi-automatic, it would be the M14. We could do a whole show on that. I hate the AR-15. But I would rather have an AR-15 than a 30-06 because I can send more rounds downrange. It's not, you know, it's just, I'm not that big of a guy. I'm only 5'7", and, you know, the M1's almost bigger than me. I'll still keep my Mosin Nagant. I would love to have, you know, any of the Russian versions of the M1, though. The Tokarevs and those kind of things that fire the Dragunov. Not saying they're direct versions, but their answer to the, you know, to the main battle rifle in some automatic large caliber form. Because the 7.62x54 is a little bit smaller than the 30-06. I had the opportunity to fire a Springfield 30-06 up here. Was it last month?
I don't know.
And I hated it. I fired them when I was a kid, and I was even smaller then. you know, frame and everything. And now, you know, I got some fat on me and some meat on me, and I still didn't like shooting a 30-06. Give me a 308. I like a 308, a 7.62x54, which is basically the Russian 308. I did that, but you should have the right to fire an M1, Warland, and you should be allowed to go down and buy one for $300 at the hardware store. In my opinion, you shouldn't have to do the paperwork, but under this draconian, you know, tyrannical system. But he won't even let you do that. Oh, Bongo, that monkey in the White House, is going to have him destroyed or shipped. You know what will happen to him? They'll end up in Mexico. They'll end up being shipped to Mexico by way of France or something, or China will buy them up and ship them to Mexico through Hugo Chavez or something. That could be there. Another article I read is down in South America, those miners that have been trapped for 2 weeks, a couple dozen of them lived on a two-day supply of food. They're going to be down there for months. They're several thousand feet, 2,500 feet below the surface, I think it is, and there was a mine accident. And they had enough food for 2 days. They thought they'd all be dead. They made contact. They're still alive. And what they're doing is they've got a little tube they can supply them food, and they're just giving them sugar, you know, basic stuff, you know, things that they can. I can't remember the. I'm diabetic, and I have to carry it with me everywhere I go. Glucose. They're dropping glucose and water down, of course. And these guys have been told they're going to be down there for several months, living on glucose. You're going to see 24 very skinny miners, or one really fat miner, and everybody's going to disappear, and there's going to be a big pile of poo with bones in it in the corner. I can't imagine going 2 months. Talk about having, this is a great example here of having a proper survival mindset. They survive for 2 weeks on 2 days worth of food for that group of people in a 500 square foot, basically an apartment that's 2,000 plus feet under the ground, and they're only going to be able to feed them a few ounces of sugar at a time per person per day. And you know, that it just shows prior planning. What if the guys had their very own packs with them or something? But it's a good example of the survival attitude. You know, these guys are hardcore. Whoever they are, I don't care what nationality or race they are, these guys are cool to be able to survive for 2 weeks on 2 days worth of supplies. I don't think I can get Lou to last 3 days on 2 days supply. He would be like, in the first day, he would eat it all, right, Lou?
No.
I'm just kidding. Lou today, man, you put away the spaghetti. This kid's growing, folks. If there's ever a doubt about the myth of teenage growth spurts, he must have had about 2,000 calories of spaghetti, and I remember those days when I do bike races and stuff, you know, carb loading and stuff. It's good to see you eating, Lou. We snuck a little pork in there. We had some canned pork from the government.
I gotta do a cleanse.
Yeah, I know. I snuck pork in your spaghetti sauce, Lou. Uh-oh, he's flipping the knife at me. Isn't it still Ramadan, Lou? Uh-oh. And he's shaving with his knife. I gave him a knife sharpener, and he's sharpening knives sharper than I can now. It's always good when the student surpasses the instructor. Don't shave your legs with your knife. Lou, ew. I use that knife to cut cheese. So hopefully they're going to try and bore that hole down to him, make it bigger, like Warland's saying, and they'll be able to get, you know, like canned hams down there or something. But can you imagine being trapped? I don't know if they have lights. I don't know much more about it, but survival attitude is sometimes far more important than the equipment. I mean, you have to have the water, you know, and you have to have, you know, oxygen, of course. These guys are going to be amazing. You watch. Of course, they'll say, oh, we'll get them out in 3 weeks. Somebody will, you know, Japan will send some special machine over there, you know, as a sign of goodwill, and they'll get them out. But these guys are going to be skin and bones when they come out, eating just sugar, you know, paste and whatever they can send down. And because they're miners, they're probably pretty hardy people, so they're probably pretty bulky, pretty strong, unless it's some kind of slave labor thing going on down there. I mean, that would explain why they had the cave-in. Good symbol of survival attitude. And on the other side, look what happened in China last week. They're on their 10th day of a traffic jam that they can't move outside of, I think it's Beijing, on their freeway. They had some semi-accidents. It was like the perfect storm of traffic problems. And they've been on the freeway for 9 days. They're having to airlift in porta-potties. Now, do you guys remember the movie The Great American Traffic Jam from the mid-80s in America? It was a farcical, you know, it came out when, you know, all the disaster movies were coming out, Earthquake, Towering Inferno, all that kind of stuff, all the airplane movies. Well, somebody did a traffic jam thing in L.A., which is very feasible to do. And it's interesting to me that in China, these, you know, obviously this can happen. They're used to moving fat mass amounts of people around, but can you imagine what happened in L.A.? Now, I don't know what people have in their trunks over there, but here it would turn into a shootout. Somebody's asking me, Obama the Wannabe wants to know who asked me to rebroadcast the show. It was called Watchmen Radio Network, The Watchmen, or The Watchmen.
Yeah, movie's Gridlock.
Broadcasting. There was a movie Gridlock?
Yeah,
there was one called The Great American Traffic Jam, too, that may have been a made-for-TV. And it, but it also had the name Gridlock, Lou.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it was kind of a comedy. I still remember the one scene where the helicopters come up over the hill, and they're playing Flight of the Valkyries from Wagner from Apocalypse Now, and they got and everybody's cheering. I was involved in a three-day avalanche when I was a kid on Eisenhower Tunnel on Interstate 70 in Colorado. I was with my father, and you know it was over Christmas break, so I went with them on the road to get into my mom's hair. I was about 12 or 13, and what they did is they opened the trucks. The trucks that had perishable items that were going to go bad anyway, like milks and things like that. And they just started handing them out and signed vouchers. You know, the disaster preparedness at the time back in the 70s was pretty crude, but probably highway patrolmen and stuff were just telling my dad, here, just I'll sign for it. I remember we had on board hamburgers. And there was enough fuel, honestly, to keep them cold. Plus, it was 30 degrees outside. Actually, it had warmed up some, and that's what caused the avalanche. And it was going to take them 2 to 3 days. I remember it being like 3 or 4 days before we could get out of there. And we were handing out food. People were cooking stuff on the side of the road. They had guys coming out, you know, disaster services guys coming out on snowmobiles. It was pretty cool. But I remember that one guy, he was for Hostess Donuts. All the kids were around that truck 24 hours a day, and we were just signing little things. Yeah, we'll take some donuts, take them back. I remember I really got big into, they weren't donuts, they were pastries, and like bear claws. And oh, to this day, I still love bear claws. But I ate my fill in those. So I was like 100 pounds at the time, 12, 13 years old. But it was a different attitude. Everybody worked together. We dug out little places for people to relax. We built fires. We were fine. We were in a diesel truck that had just fueled up about 100 miles before. We weren't going anywhere, but that was good. And another time I remember, I've been stuck probably 12 hours on a freeway going to Front Sight on the 15 freeway leaving the L.A. Basin. I was with my pastor, and there was a horrible, horrible multi-accident on the hill going out of Baker, going towards Vegas. They shut it down. It was like 7 to 8 hours before we got out of there. I think it was semis involved. And we had everything we needed for several days because we were going to a training, and we didn't have the money to eat at restaurants because we're poor folks here. People around us didn't even have water. There was a carload of girls in front of us, I remember, no water, no toilet paper. And of course they had to, you know, and on the desert, where are they going to go? So we had like a culvert that became the modern latrine. And you know, after the first hour or so, we just, you know, we realized we were in it for the long haul. Good thing we left early. We didn't miss our classes because we left on a Thursday. Classes started on a Friday. No, we left on a Wednesday. Classes started. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And but we were prepared for it, and we had no problem. I mean, having this mindset, you never know when you're going to get stuck. People in San Bernardino, where it hasn't snowed since the 1950s and it melted right away, can leave on a Friday afternoon to go to Las Vegas, be going up Cajon Pass, which goes up over 4,200 feet, and get stuck in snow, and they're in high heels and a skirt, and some of the women, too, are in high heels and skirt. So they're not prepared. One, they can't drive in it, and two, they don't have blankets, they don't have food in their cars, they have no survival mindset. And so what that does is that makes you as a survivalist, and it's not a dirty word, Noah was a survivalist, you have to have an attitude of, am I going to be the guy who supplies extra, or am I going to be the guy that hides it? Am I going to be the guy that can get out of my car, move away from the masses? Am I going to be the guy at work that, you know, do I try to educate everybody? And it really calls into question, do you have a good plan? And I'm not saying you're a bad guy if you're going to be the hoarder. I'm not saying you're the bad guy if you're not going to share. We're way past that. I'm not going to judge you for that. You've probably been preaching to your family and they don't listen. But when you've got like a large SUV, they're probably going to come knocking. You know, and you may have a Tupperware big container. What I can't remember what these are called that we're using right now, but they're big Tupperware containers. They're like 30-gallon containers if you were to put water in them, maybe 25, 30 gallons. Is that in the back of your car? Are you prepared to share? Are you prepared to do that on a one-on-one? You won't even be with your training group. You won't even be with your church mates. You won't be with your militia. How are you going to face that when these things happen? Because they're happening all around the world right now as we speak. This isn't history. gases right now. There are fires in Southern California right now that I always talk about, the arson issues and everything, where people are being evacuated and they're getting out of the house with, you know, they're bringing their valuables and stuff and not bringing anything to survive with. The shelters fill up fast. And quite honestly, are you the kind of person that wants to be in the shelter, or do you want to go off on your own and just be fine? The only reason I went to shelters was to help out, because when I was a victim, I didn't go to the shelters. I did later just to help out, but I've done 3 shelter management situations. I've been on the shelter management team for Red Cross and things like that. With forest fires, they were all fires, 1 flood, 2 fires. And I don't want to be in a shelter. I don't want to subject my family to a shelter. That alone should motivate most people, but it's not going to. It's not the majority, 80%, 90%, maybe 99%, I don't know, depending on where you live. We're a little luckier here in California, Southern California specifically, not where I'm at anymore, because of the seasons, you know, riot season, fire season, mudslide season, earthquake season. What else is there? Did I say flood season, flash flood season? And there's like 7 or 8 seasons, and they're all violent. And they're all either man-made or natural disasters. And people get a little bit better mindset out here. Not to prepare, but to know that they can happen at any time. They'll have their 3-day kit. You know, they'll have their chiclets and their list of cell phone contacts, some cash, and maybe some extra meds. But if it goes 3 or 4 days, they're doomed. But they know, oh, FEMA will be here. Red Cross will be here. Right now, we're having a heat wave. It's 106. What is the temperature here right now? Look it up, please. We're told it's going to be 106 today, 108 tomorrow. And they're opening cooling centers. We opened our house because we have a swamp cooler. We told our neighbors, come on down, we'll sit, we'll watch, you know, because I'm doing computer work. They're not bothering me. Well, what did we watch today? The cable guy. Huh?
Health inspector.
Health inspector, you know.
The weather is.
What is the weather, Liv?
104, partially cloudy. The wind is heading northwest at 8 miles per hour, 19% humidity.
Okay, well, the humidity is kind of low. So you can see here, even in Central California, where it's like this every summer, they're opening cooling shelters, mostly for the elderly and the homeless. I know that. But people, they don't even know. I don't understand why you have to go to cooling. You know what I did last year? Actually, 2 years ago, because I wasn't married. I was living by myself. I got in the tub and ran the cold water on myself all day long. I just kept it going. When it started to warm up, I'd add a little more cold water. I had nice cold drinks sitting there next to me and a bucket of ice. I got some ice out of the fridge. And I read books. I lived in a library last year, or 2 years ago before I got married. Now I live in a house. Things are moving up for the Dutch family. Olima said God told Noah to prepare ahead of time. He did. And then Worland says, Noah had God as the supply officer. That's right. Go for wood, Lou. Go for wood. Okay. But if you don't have that survival mindset, you never know when it's going to hit. A traffic jam in China. Thousands of people stranded. Of course, China has such little value for life, I doubt they're going to help them. Can you imagine the looting that's going to be going on? The riot. I mean, if it happens in America, Chicago gets gridlocked like that for 2 or 3 days, much less 10 days now. They'll just start killing each other off. There'll be cannibalism after the 4th day. You know, there's all that kind of stuff. So are you prepared for the community around you to fall apart? And I'm just saying, you guys that want to stay in large communities, we're in a small community here. Everybody's saying, good job with the weather report, Lou. I boosted your mic so they could actually hear you. I amped it up so they actually heard you. It's a good job, Lou. We should do that every day. We should have to give a
30 degrees Celsius.
Here. Lou, what's the weather look like outside?
It's sunny.
It's sunny. It's hot. It's hot. And it's stinky.
It's raining.
It's raining. It's raining. Back to you. We here at the Church of Kaweah, we realize that we're probably going to be a shelter site, mostly for the people that are friends of the church. And what I've embarked upon, and a lot of people, you're not going to like this. You're going to say, how dare you? You're getting in bed with the devil. But let me tell you one of the Dutchisms, I think it's in the top 5. I don't have them all numbered. I use them at different times. We're at war with their government. They are our supply pod, and if we can get whatever resources we can from them, we are. We're using the Community Emergency Response Team resources, and we're putting together a team here. I registered our team today with the pastor's permission. And those of you that don't know, I think everybody here has heard me before. Hey, Stacy in there?
Yeah.
Stacy, make sure you bring our drinks up. It's time for a break. We need our refreshments, Stacy. I need them now. After we get back, I'm going to tell you about the CERT program and how you can use it and not get tagged and not go to bed with the New World Order. But there's some great resources there under the CERT program, and I'm going to tell you what we're doing here at the Church of Kaweah. We'll be back after a break, and my snack. Oh, here she comes.
dead and so bold. And I'll tell you some men for the Union who in northern ranks were enrolled. They came to misery in their glory, and the thought that their might we'd be dismayed. But they soon had a different story when they met Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? They have called us rebels and traitors, but themselves have thrown up that name of late. They were called by the English invaders at home in the year of 1988. The name to us is not a new one, though it is one that shall never degrade. It is blue-hearted Irishmen in the ranks of Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Stinks, rights, and liberty we ask. And the Missouri will never defend her, no matter how hard may be the task. Then let it through Irishmen assemble, let the voice of Missouri be obeyed. And the northern fanatics will tremble when again they meet Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade?
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Emergency. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
If you want to throw down in fisticuffs, fine. I've got Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary waiting for you right here.
Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary waiting for you right here, Lou. Right here, Lou. That's how I roll. Broski. Okay, I'm Dutch Jones. What?
With your Rubik's Cube, Jim.
That's how I roll.
That's how I roll. That's Jack Black, ladies and gentlemen. From the very funny movie... The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Anchorman.
And, yes, I do watch secular films, and I laugh. I laugh until I pee myself. I don't just sit around watching Little House on the Prairie all the time. I do enjoy ribald humor, as they say, some jocularities. So that's why we share it with you. I'm not a priss. Although, I don't think I've ever been accused of being a prissy. Yeah, that's probably not so good something to say. Well, welcome back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you Monday through Friday from the belly button of California, right here in the Central Valley, the San Joaquin Valley. We're in the foothills, right outside the Sierra Nevada mountains. What would it be? Sequoia National Park. The front gate's like 5 miles that way. In fact, you go another 7 miles down the road, and you can sneak in the back way without paying. Of course, you can't see anything unless you go on foot, but the back way to Crystal Cave, all that, the mountains, beautiful stuff. You can get your share of ticks, you know, without having to pay the $28 or whatever
to see them.
Baby bears, we've seen. Yeah. Lots of deer, turkey. All kinds of God's critters out here running around. And we are a militant Christian radio program. We come to you from the Church of Cahuilla, but we do not reflect the views, the beliefs, the political, point of view of the Church of Cahuilla necessarily, although I am taught here and I do share with you the things that I learned in my discipleship with Pastor Warren Mark. But if I say something just bizarre and off the cuff, like you go watch Ron Burgundy, that doesn't mean the church would tell you to go do that. That's just me as an individual. But we love having this space. We need to move, though. It's not that they're not a good host, it's just we need a better position. The room that we're in is going to become the Tactical Communication Center. Things are picking up a pace here. We've got a lot of radios here that we've got to set up. We've got 2 meter shortwave, 440. We've got aviation radios. We've got CBs, all kinds of stuff that need to go into this room, and I got to get out. But we can't get out of here until we move our satellite dish. Now, it's not as easy as moving your satellite dish for your TV. You've got to move the dish, move the modem, and they have to triangulate it and set it all up, and they want $100 to do that. Well, because of little Lou's operation to get his feet unstuck together, because he had a webbed feet. They were actually webbed together. That we used all our money on that. So that doesn't bother you, Lou, that I do that? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Elder abuse. He's coming at me with his earplugs. He's snapping his earplugs at me. He was weed eating today. But if you go to dutchjones.tk today, you will see a need. Usually we just say donate what you can. We have a specific need in the next 4 weeks. We need a soundboard. The soundboard is not ours. The soundboard belongs to the church, and it needs to stay in this room. One of the reasons we were doing it here is because there was a soundboard. But and we need a better soundboard. This one needs to be sent out for maintenance. An old tube type. Yamaha integrated. It's a hybrid. It's got tubes and solid state. And it's like, what, an 8-pot board. But it weighs 300 pounds. And we can't use it anymore because they want to use it for the Tactical Operations Center that's going to be in this building.
You got it in 1943.
It was like 1943.
They got it from the
Navy. Yeah, they got it from the Navy or something. And so what we're going to do is we're going to move in across the street. What was that? Did you hear that squeal? Oh,
sorry.
Oh, that was weird. It sounded like it was right here in my head. Oh, wait, I'm wearing headphones. And we've got that. We got to move. We've got to move. What else are we going to do? We've got to get that soundboard, which is $100. That's $200 right there. And then we have the power bill over there. We have the power bill here. While we're still here, we're going to be paying a portion of it. We have the, you know, all these fees. And I'm not poor talking, I'm just telling you that if you enjoy the show and you want it to keep going, these things have to be covered. Stacy's not working, I'm not working. Lou is the only one working. He's getting like $20 a month to do the church's website, which, woohoo, he does a great job on that. And he got paid to move some furniture yesterday, and we immediately mugged him.
Paid.
Oh, you didn't get paid yet?
No.
Well, we immediately mug him every time he gets paid, and we go and buy food. Because we don't want to crack into our survival food stashes. We did that, if you guys know, last summer or last spring. And we had to build it back up, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to crack that stuff open. Not because we don't like eating it, because it's for emergency purposes. So we really need your help. If you just, everybody just sent, if everyone just sent in $5.
Or whatever you can.
Tomorrow, in the next couple of days, we could get that. You put 250 up?
350.
Because that includes the internet bill and everything. Because we want to keep doing the show. We've got another radio network that wants to carry us, the Watchman Radio Network. And honestly, I don't know anything about them. because we don't have bandwidth here. I can't listen to other radio networks. I listen to about an hour of my own show every day to make sure I'm doing it good and make sure I didn't say anything stupid. Like yesterday, I flip-flopped some phrases. It didn't really affect the truth and fullness of a statement, but it just didn't make sense. But I like to be professional and listen to my own show. And so I can't listen to these other networks. So if you guys get a chance, find the it's called the Watchman Patriot Radio Network or something like that, and check them out. Make sure they're not a bunch of Nazis or something for me, you know. I went to their Facebook page and there was nothing there. It was just generic, you know. Hey, you know, we do a radio show, kind of like mine. But there, that's my call. That's all I'm going to do. You know, I may remind you at the end of the 2 hours, you know, hey, if you've got, instead of sending your money to, you know, let's see, who, the Holy Land Foundation to help Hamas or anything, send it to us this month. If you're fellowshipping here, if you're being enriched here, the Lord wants you to tithe here. And no, I'm not a church. I'm not a pastor. I'm just I'm a mouthpiece for the cause. But you can rest assured in knowing we're not going out and buying video games for Lou. We're not wasting it. We're very frugal people to begin with. I mean, look at, you know, our living room is lawn chairs and a recliner that someone threw away that smells like a cat. But I don't mind. I needed a recliner because of my back, and I'm in it. And then I even blew out the last of the lawn chairs. I've destroyed 3 lawn chairs in a week and a half. Not because I'm huge, okay? It's because they get left outside and they get UV damage, okay? So it was funny. We're sitting around the campfire Saturday night, and I forgot to tell you about that yesterday. And all of a sudden, I dropped like 16 inches. And everybody's like, what happened? I go, I just blew out the seat in this thing. It was a perfect square tear. You know, it's like I didn't even have anything in my pockets. But so there's, now we're going to have a lawn chair fund, because I can't touch a lawn chair anymore. Somebody went and got me a folding metal chair and said, here, maybe you won't break this. I'm like, ha, Weisenheimer. So that's what it was. Okay, and you know who you are, tent sleeper boy. I know you listen to the show. In fact, you're probably listening now as a guest or listening on Facebook. Welcome, Mike. I appreciate you more than you know. I enjoy your stories and your knowledge base. But next time, no tent. Everybody's going to sleep on the ground.
Where else?
Well, unless you want to carry a tent on your pack, but I'd rather carry 200 rounds of ammunition and some more food than a tent. And I think you guys had no problem with that. I'm not getting to my topic at hand, but did you guys have any problem sleeping on the ground? Anyone in here? Anyone? Anyone? You in the back? In the back row of bleachers? You? Yeah, you.
No.
No? You're fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't.
Even
Insomnia Man kept me up all night.
Who kept you up? Insomnia Man? Well, I was doing security checks. Yeah. I was shooing the cattle away. I was walking the perimeter. I was treating it like a real training exercise, even though nobody else wanted to do guard. Lou had first guard duty, and he fell asleep right away, so it was fell to me.
Awake on and off.
Yeah, I was awake all night. Well, you were up and walking around, too, because you surprised me one time. I didn't even see you leave the compound or the perimeter. Yeah, I know. So we all had to get up and sneak out behind the barn, if you know what I mean. We did have access to toilets for those of you coming up from the city, but we ruffians, we like to go out behind the barn one at a time. We don't go in a group. Which is kind of creepy, because behind the barn is where we keep the vaults for the cemetery. So, you know, I've had people go, oh, just go up behind the lawn or behind the barn and pee, and they'll go, what were those big concrete things? Oh, those are for the dead people. And they're like, you put dead people in those? Well, we bury them first, and then we lower them in with the tractor, with the backhoe, and then we put them in. And somebody coming?
No.
Oh. Oh, I thought, yeah, they're behind the barn. There should be 2 or 3 of them now. We only buy 2 or 3 a year. We don't die that fast here.
I always go behind the barn.
And we've had a couple people, especially the veterans, myself included, it's my wish to just be put in the dirt in a body bag. And it's not by law that we have to put them in a vault, but some people just want to be put in a vault. They don't want the critters getting to them, but to me that's just delaying it, you know. So I know we'll be restored for the resurrection, so I don't worry about it. Anyway, we're getting off the topic here. Talking about our cemetery. CERT, Community Emergency Response Training. Put the website back in the room for me, Lou. Shouldn't have chugged that soda on the break. Hang on there, folks. Pat me on the back. Somebody pat me on the back. Oh, thank you. Yeah, heavy-duty lawn chair is required. I need a lawn chair that will hold a 230-pound guy, and I got to remember to not leave him out in this heat.
Oh, awesome.
In the direct rays. It just kills him. It destroys him. Now, the cheaper $12 ones, I did blow out because I'm fat. But that other one was a 250-pound limit chair that I blew out. But it was 3 or 4 years old. No, 2 years old. We got it on our wedding night.
Yeah.
We got him on the next day after our wedding. We used some of our wedding money.
Everybody had one.
Sportsman's Warehouse, and Lou killed the first one by accidentally cutting it with a pocket knife.
No, I sat.
That's what I mean, with something in your back pocket. It's not like he went out there maliciously and cut it. I don't want it to sound like that. And then the second ones, they just decayed. I don't think we have. Yeah. We'll have to just whittle up some. So, we cannot turn down let's shift gears here, get in a proper mindset. We cannot turn down viable training material opportunities just because we know it's part of the federal government. If you're one of those people that say that, well, let me give you this, and maybe this will help you out a little bit. When the South seceded from the North, all they had were Northern uniforms for their militaries. All they had were Northern materials. A lot of the people that left West Point and Virginia and all those places had Northern uniforms, and they wore them. They used them. They utilized them. When in the battlefield you capture an enemy's equipment, you use it, right? So if we are at war with the New World Order now as it acts through our federal government and in our state governments to some extent, why should we turn away proper training? And if you go, did you put it up there, Lou?
Yeah.
CitizensCorps.gov, CitizensCorps.gov/CERT/CERT. Now, if you go to California on there and you look for state CERT units, the first one that comes up for California is Moreno Valley. I started that one, and it's still there today. 96, I think it said. And
no, it was 98.
98. We started it before that, but it was recognized in 98. And the lady running it, you know, if you call her and say, "Hey, Dutch Joan," she'll go, "Who?" But it's still going strong. I've trained, like I told you, I've trained thousands of people through this. They have all kinds of stuff for you. I mean, everything from the psychological impact on being a rescuer to, you know, hands dirty triage stuff. The automated defibrillator training, that's there. You don't know what an automated defibrillator is? Well, shame on you. Because they're going to be placed everywhere, especially here in California. I think they're making it a law. Any place that has elderly has to have... You know what I'm talking about. It's when they, you know, give me the paddles, you know, clear. Well, they have automated ones now where you put the little stickers, you know, lefty, you know, put one too high, one low, and it tells you what to do. Stand back. It senses to see if there's a heartbeat. It won't shock you if you don't need it. It gives printouts. Some of them even radio the trauma center. All good training. Light search and rescue to moderate search and rescue. Cribbing. All those resources are there. Their videos are there. And yes, they're full of anti-militia propaganda. They go on and on about the Oklahoma City bombing. I went through the PowerPoint I used the other day and just took all that garbage out and reworded everything. I took everywhere it said CERT, you know, and I put in TCAKERF, the Church at Cahuilla Emergency Response Families. So I contacted them again this morning, and I said, "Look, we want to start our own unit." And they said, "Okay, register it. Tell us who you are, what jurisdiction you want to cover." Well, first, before I did that, I searched. And the nearest two CERT groups in Tulare County, which is a big county, it's not overly populated. Actually, not even Tulare and Fresno County. City of Fresno has one. Mm-hmm. And Exeter has one, but there's only 9 people in it. And they're all cops or cop personnel. There's something wrong with that. Do you want your community depending upon police officers? Because in reality, that's ridiculous. Let's say that they're the volunteers. They already have duties. They're not going to be doing anything for you, so that's a waste of our tax money. Training public safety personnel to be community disaster preparedness volunteers is ridiculous. It's double dipping. It's a way for them to line their resumes. That's all it is. We need to do it. We civilians, we retired military, we retired public safety, school teachers, whatever. And we should, and up here, what I did is I got kind of bold, and I said, well, because it asked what jurisdiction I would like to cover when I was filling out the paperwork. And I said, well, I'd like to do Cahuilla and Three Rivers, which is about 7,000 people tops, I would say. And there may be some more in the outlying if you get up into Mineral King and things like that, which we probably couldn't get up there. But we want our own fire truck. We want another ambulance. They took it away. But these resources are there. And you can do it where they know everything you're doing, where you give them your social security number and they keep giving you certificates. I could care less about certificates. Or you can do it as an individual standalone unit that still gets anything that they need from the government that's available. It says Butte County has anything like that. You need to look it up, Orland, when you go there, Butte County. And if they don't have one, you should look into starting it. And you don't need to have, and every one of them I looked at, California has the most. There's like 270 of them in California. You know, most of them are in Southern California because of the earthquake damage. But they're all, the fire chief's in charge of it, the police chief, the coroner's in charge of it. And then as you get away from L.A., it's just regular people. Like the ones that I helped start are the ones that I worked with. Thank you, Lou. He's putting the good links up there in the chat room. They're just run by regular people. Ham operators should be the ones doing this. Retired firemen could do it. But I don't like seeing this being run by the police chief or the sheriff. Too much power in the hands of one person. Now, the way I did it is I went out and recruited churches. If you go to Moreno Valley, each little group, Moreno Valley, the city of Moreno Valley has its own. And they'll train, I think it was 50 people every 3 months. Is the way their budget was working back then. But on my own, I went out to churches and did it. And I remember my biggest customer was, and I think I learned this yesterday, the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. I would go and do it at the different churches or temple, whatever they call it, stakes. You know, help me out here, Minuteman. I don't remember exactly how they do it. But they all got trained in a matter of a year for the entire city of Moreno Valley, and they had 80 to 90 people show up. 80 to 90 people. Okay, you're going to go across start dinner? Well, don't start dinner yet. Yeah, it's still too early. What are we having? We having Baja chicken?
Yes.
Is it Baja chicken? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Baja.
Okay, cool. Looking forward to it. Mashed potatoes and corn. We got enough. You sure you don't want to come over? We got another movie night. It's going to be hot.
No, I got to go up and do my ordering.
Okay, well, when you're done doing your chores, come on over. You know, we'll save some for you. It's a community here, folks. And steaks, thank you, steaks. I forgot Olima came from that background too. And those people were squared away. Then the next biggest church that were doing it were the Baptists. The Baptists were doing it. And they all wanted to do it because they wanted their buildings to become shelters. So we spent a lot of time on individual preparedness. And then the classes I took after that were shelter operations, psychology, disaster psychology, that kind of stuff. And it was very important. And all of it came for free. Now they're charging people to take the classes. I saw them as low as today when I was looking. $15 to $50. And what you get for that is a certificate. And you get a little green helmet, a green vest, some gloves, and goggles. That was it. You had to supply your own boots. And it was ridiculous. Most of you should have this already anyway, if you're already got a survival mindset. But the thing that happens is when you get that vest, it gives you kind of an ID. And I can't remember if Minuteman and I talked about it on the air or not, but we talked about having orange vests in your kit because it gives you some sense of responsibility and they let you go in there. And yeah, we understand that the Mormons are very much into preparedness. It's probably the one thing that I really, really respect about them. You know, there's doctrinal issues, of course, I have with them, but that one sense of family and self-preservation and not taking help from the outside is important. I don't want the Red Cross to come into our community. I don't want FEMA to come in here. I want our group in a non-martial situation, non-martial law situation, be able to take care of our neighbors, even the hippies. We may not let them sleep in our church, but we may be able to set up a shelter at the school. You know, the civic building here, we have a school. It's K-8, auditorium, chow hall, all that's in one place. I would love to be able to go and operate shelters over there. Because I told you already, the sheriff has told us we're on our own in any major disaster. And what you do through the CERT program is you recruit people, you have them come out. The first basic training class, basic CERT training, covers everything that you need to know to just basically dig yourself out, prepare yourself, identify possible threats to your community, operate rescue operations until relieved. Basically, that's it. That's the intro. And it's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday is the way we did them. Now, you could do it every Wednesday night for a couple of months, but it was 16 and 3 is 19 to 20 hours of work. A lot of videos, a lot of hands-on training, and then what we did is we added to it when I did it for the city of Moreno Valley and then in Riverside County and San Bernardino County. They did the whole class, and then we had a exercise 2 weekends after that, and about half the people didn't show up for it. But those that did, we did a disaster. We got the moulage out. We got the dead bodies and, you know, the severed hands and the smoke machines and all that kind of stuff. We got the cribbing equipment out. We put dummies underneath big slabs of concrete that you couldn't move without using, you know, leverage and cribbing and that stuff that they learned in the class. You know, we did all the, you know, BBS, bleeding, breathing, shock. That's all you do in CERT, bleeding, breathing, shock. You know, you stop the large amount of bleeding, you make sure they're breathing, you move on. You check the breathing first. First B is breathing. And you focus on that. But then after that, we had all these classes. Because I went to the academy in San Diego, and then I went back to Maryland to the FEMA academy back there to learn a lot of this stuff to be an instructor and to be a trainer of trainers, train the trainer stuff. And I mean, they got everything, folks. Response to terrorist attacks, response to biological, chemical, nuclear, explosive, incendiary. All that's right there, folks. It's all there on the internet. And let's say you don't have a group. Let's say you're Warland and you're all by yourself up there in Butte County, California, and you can't find any like-minded people. They have an individual home study course you can do online. And if you want to get the certificate, you've got to register and you give them their information, but you can take it yourself. And they have tests and stuff you can do, but I don't see a need for that. I'm more interested in teaching people and getting them confident and getting them in the proper mindset. Now, that's going to do two things for us here, and the pastor's excited about it. And I know a couple people in church are going to be like, well, why are we associating ourselves with the federal government? Let's take everything we can from them, folks. And it'll help with some outreach. Maybe those fence sitters that don't really know too much about us in the community, maybe we'll be able to wake them up, and it'll be a great gospel outreach. Here, we're going to have our biggest thing here is going to be forest fires and flooding. We have flash flooding. They've had major floods here. I don't know about the death tolls here. I'll have to do some more research. If I'm going to instruct it, I better know what happened here. They had major floods in the 60s, 40s. They built a huge reservoir just down the road from me because it would flood Visalia, a city of 90 to 100,000 people, every single spring. Would flood because and that's what the dam is here for. It's not for irrigation, it's for flood control. It's a small reservoir, not a big, large, massive containment one. They drain it as soon as it fills up. So we could just simply teaching people how to fight fires, fight forest fires with the equipment they have, how to prepare their house, how to make sandbag levees around their homes. Those types of things. You know, we're not on an earthquake fault that I know of, but faults are everywhere. We're not a good target for nuclear attack. I mean, the nearest target's about an hour and 10 minutes away. What's the name of that air base? Lemoore Naval Air Force Base. It's like where they train their fighters, and there's all kinds of stuff going on there. Are we a soft target? Yeah, we're a tourism place. There's a couple hotels that are two and three stories that are full. Terrorists might look at that. But we're more likely to have problems with environmental issues. Thunderstorm, cloudburst, suddenly a 15-foot wall of water comes down and everybody who's within 100 feet of the river, their house gets taken out. And we've got rescue followed by recovery. Do you guys know how to search a house? How do you mark a house? There's a procedure for that. And just because it's a federal procedure doesn't mean it's bad. One of the best things I saw, I've been watching the training videos all week, and they didn't have this when I was doing it. When you have your three levels of casualties, you have your immediates, your delays, and your dead. Your immediate is somebody who can, you know, you can control the bleeding. You can control, you know, they're breathing. The immediates need immediate care or they're going to die. The delays, they may be walking wounded, smaller injuries. Their injuries may be maiming them or crippling them someday later, but right now they're not going to die. And then you're dead. So what we used to do is we used to carry around markers. We had a red marker for immediate, a green marker for delayed, and a black marker for dead, and we would just write on their heads. I would put an I for immediate, a D for delayed, and then I would put an X for dead. And they've come up with a new way of doing that. Maybe they don't want us writing on them, but it's a wristband system that helps you keep track. Paperwork's a big thing in this, keeping track. We're going to talk more about it in the next hour. I hope you're enjoying this. Call in. Let me know if you got something else you want to talk about. But I'm really excited about this. It's like the next step for our group, for our militia to actually do something for our community. We'll be back after the break. Here's Poker Face. Good song.
For the pain that it's been through, she's been made to suffer. For the profit of a few, storm clouds are out forming. touch our souls. I hear forefathers are crying as the dream's been cruised from America. I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, I show my love for you in all that I do. All that I do. I pray for my country and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance, while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom and the ways of liberty. I die for my country, playing corporate dynamite.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Darn tootin'. I can make a wolverine and a badger purr. I am Dutch Jones, and I guess this is the second hour of the Tuesday edition, the open forum of Dutch Jones Radio Program, coming to you from the lint-filled belly button of Central California here on the West Coast. where we face disaster every day. I mean, just by living in California is a political disaster. And we bring to you the militant Christian worldview. We do it unapologetically, although sometimes I say I'm sorry if you don't like it, but I'm really not sorry if you don't like what we're putting out here. We don't intend to offend. We don't intend to offend, but if that happens, that says more about you than it does about us. Because it is a joint effort here. I'm bringing you things that I learn all week from my great friends and church family here, my survival group friends, my militia group, the people that I rub elbows with and bounce ideals off of all week, and our Bible studies and those kinds of things. So, it's not meant to offend, but if it offends you, there's something wrong with you. And you need to deal with that. And you need to be like in that Geico commercial and go get therapy. And or like Lou put on the top of the DutchJones.tk website, if you can't handle what we're doing here, go find a support group, because you're going to need one. Lou's sticking tacks in soda bottles and showing them to me. Is that like a threat, Lou?
No, it looks like a nose.
It looks like a nose? Oh, I see, because there's sunglasses on the Coca-Cola imprint on the bottle. I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you were threatening me. You were going to stab me. Hey, Florida Dave, just wondering if this is Mag. I knew a guy from Florida named Dave that was like-minded and last name Mag. I'm not going to do the whole name, but anyone out there, there's a guy named Dave that's like-minded from Florida that refinishes yachts, wooden ships, wooden boats, polishes them and all that stuff. I've been looking for him. I grew up with him and trying to find him. I heard he's in Florida from his dad. So it'd be cool if you were listening to the show. I'd love to have you as a co-host. Just think, this is the guy that I used to do pirate radio with when I was a kid. The guy that got me all started. If it wasn't for Dave, I can't give his last name. I don't want to give his last name. This guy, Dave, that I'm looking for. I did pirate radio before I met him, but we went global with shortwave when I met this guy. Too bad. Okay, well, you can still listen to the show. It's okay. Thanks for getting back to me on that. You are in Florida, right? Florida A or Florida V? Is it Dave? Are you Mag now? What?
I was confused. He's Mag now.
No, he's not Mag now. He wasn't Mag before. Why would he be Mag now?
I don't know.
Maybe something changed in the last 10 seconds. But we're talking about getting your group trained under the envelope, under the umbrella of the Obama brigades. And some people don't want to go there. And I understand that. If you don't want to, fine. But don't criticize me for going there. I think it's a resource that we can't just throw away. And, you know, granted, there's a lot of propaganda in their videos, but it also gives you an idea of how they function. And as I was getting to you before the break, if you've got one of those great little, I called them Girl Scout vests, the cert, green cert vests, or whatever you call your group, everybody can call themselves something else. There's different groups. There was a CERT, S-E-R-T, School Emergency Response Team, VERT, Virginia Emergency Response Team, or VBERT. There's, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, they don't care. But they want to standardize the training, because it does two things for them. One, it frees them up. If they've got all these civilian responders out there, they don't have to worry about your neighborhood. And two, they get to take credit for it when your neighborhood doesn't go under and start screaming for FEMA. You know, when you see places that, you know, they have a disaster, like, where's FEMA? Where's the Red Cross? Where's the president? But then you'll have other communities that'll have tornadoes, like Windsor, Colorado, got wiped out by tornadoes 2 summers ago. In Colorado, you guys probably don't even remember it. You know why? Because they turned down aid from the federal government because they didn't need it. So you get the training, you prepare, you stockpile, you build for that rainy day, and then you say, hey guys, we don't need you. We got it covered. We're taking care of our neighbors, which is one of the most biblical things you can do. Instead of sitting out on the curb going, where's my generator? Where's my case of water? Where's my can of food? Oh, I hate the government. Oh, they're so terrible. You can't have it both ways as a militia guy. As a patriot, as a Christian, you can't sit there and scream at the government for not being there to help you when you have all this time to prepare. So get their training. Use their training. It's like I ran into a young man, and I don't want to get him in trouble, so I'm not going to give too much information, but he's in the military right now serving over. Well, he just got back from overseas. He's on his 30-day post-combat leave. And he's getting all the training he can. He's getting his feet, you know, dirty, his hands dirty, and the government's paying for all of it. And then he's going to turn around and use it to defend his neighbors. We'd be fools not to use it. And if you go on the website, that Lou put up there, and I can't find it right now, it's gone past, but just Google CERT, S-E-R-T. Or excuse me, C-E-R-T. C-E-R-T. I was looking at the one for the School Emergency Response Team. And they just got some amazing stuff. And some of the things we did with our CERT guy, citizenscorps.gov/CERT. CitizenCorps.gov/CERT. We got our guys to where they could, because we had mostly volunteer firefighters in our region. San Bernardino County is huge, and it's spread out, and it's diverse. And they'd have two or three firemen, volunteer firemen, on a rig, and these CERT guys would show up and man a hose. That would allow the firemen to go in and do rescue, do life-saving stuff, because, honestly, and a lot of firemen hate this, once you get past the basics, all you got to do, running a hose is easy. Oh, Stacy's putting a little thing in there about some of our water filters are back up. We sold one water filter this week. Thank you. We need to sell a couple more. If you need a water filter, go to that link that's in there. Oh, boy. Okay, so I'm going to give this link out here. Get ready, guys. myworld.ebay.com/STACIE4986. So this is if you want to buy a water filter from us through eBay. You don't want to go through the store. You want to go through eBay. So, you know, I don't know why, but we seem to have more luck with people buying them on eBay. That's because Lou put that one of our water filters for $40,000. But that was funny. But he got that fixed. But get ready again. If you want to buy from Stacy on eBay, it's myworld.ebay.com/Stacy4986. I'm going to get ready here to give it in a second, but that's for the Sawyer water filters. The biologic, you know, you can carry the water bottle with you. You can do the sink adapter. You can get the bucket. I think you got the bucket ones up there. You need them. And it's kind of funny here because we already have water filters. We've already invested hundreds of dollars in water filters. We want to buy these Sawyer ones, but we can't afford to buy them, but we want you to buy them. We've got them for our church. We've got them for our neighbors. We've shown people how to use them. There's a video we can on our website that shows you how to use them. These are amazing water filters. So here we go again. It's myworld.ebay.com/STACIE4986. And you can go there and maybe Lou will start selling some of his toys on there too. I don't know. But Lou donated all, to throwback, Lou donated a bunch of his toys to children's, it wasn't a shelter, it was a food bank where they give toys and clothes to poor kids. He donated like 4 or 5 garbage bags full of his toys rather than sell them, so that was pretty cool that Lou did that. And I didn't even have to ask him to do it, he just kind of put them together and did it. But he's going to have some of his nicer ones he is going to try and put up on eBay to raise some money to buy a, you said you wanted a tank or something? What was it you were going to buy? What did you want to buy? So the people will know why they're buying your toy. You don't remember. He wanted to get an Abraham Lincoln costume for Mardi Gras, I think is what it was. But anyway, if you focus your community training, it's going to be a great outreach. It's going to give you some credibility. You can cross police and fire lines. You create an image. You create your own ID badge. You send out press releases to your sheriff and fire chiefs for the county or community that you live in. You invite them to come and witness your training. It's standardized training, so they're going to go, hey, we know what this is. They've been told about it. The only reason most of these places that don't have them don't do them is they don't have the manpower to instigate them. They don't have people writing grants to get these programs up and running. Where I was, it was something that we just decided to do, and then, of course, city council and all these committees got involved with it, and they made it look like it was their idea. And I'm going to tell you flat out, the City of Moreno Valley's Community Emergency Response Training was the idea of a current fireman by the name of Jared Adams, who brought it to me. We sat down and looked at it online, and we just went nuts with it. And we got in the bug, put the bug in the ear of all the city council members, the police chief, the fire chief, because we had access to him because of our jobs. And finally, it got done. But if it hadn't been for Jared Adams, I had never heard of it. I didn't know what it was back in the 90s. I was always disaster prepared guy. But when he brought that, it was, I think then it was under Clinton, if I remember right. And back then, every 500 people I trained, I got paid $500 above and beyond my regular job. I won't charge people to do it. You can decide it could be a fundraiser for you guys. You guys could say, hey, we want $20 to take this class because it's worth more. It's worth easily 10 times that. The one in City of Rancho Cucamonga, they're charging $100 for the 2-day, one evening class. $100. Now, if you don't know where Rancho Cucamonga is, it's where Bugs Bunny used to make a left turn, other than Albuquerque. But it's a very high-end community. You know, majority of them are real, professionals and Defense Department guys and stuff like that. Ooh, Warland, good one. I won't. But think of this as a fundraiser for your church, for your you know, if you're a Mason and you've got your little Masonic. I'm just kidding. I threw it out there for Warren. Odd Fellow Temple or what are the ones? What are the Scottish Rite Temple? Don't be throwing me Masonic temples. So this gives me the willies. No, stop. He's throwing hand signals. Oh, he's doing the owl one. But we can do that. Make a little money with it to help you guys buy what you need. But once you get established and you get, say, 25 to 30 people, then you go to the federal government, you go to the Forest Service, you go to the military and say, hey, we've got a disaster preparedness group that is sanctioned and trained per the dictates of Obama's, you know, disaster preparedness, Office of Emergency Services, whatever you want to call it. We'd like to have that deuce and a half. We would like that trailer full of hospital and water purification stuff. And you're going to get them. You're not going to get them every time, but if you keep active, you're going to be able to get materials. I would go through, it was the, what do they call them? DERMOs, Defense Reutilization Materials Outlet or something like that. There was one on March Air Force Base. We would walk in and we were right behind police and fire. They had the priority. And then we could go up and just tag something. And we got two ambulances that way. Two ambulances. Full-on ambulances. We had to equip them ourselves, but we went to other places, got grant letters. We even got, Mako? We got them to paint it, repaint them so they didn't have the military insignias on and painted them white. And one ambulance we turned into a mobile communications command post for disasters, which we utilized with our HAM volunteers. We had about 50 people in our group, 50 active people. We had about 150 people that would just kind of take the training and hang out. And, you know, they had real jobs for their pagers. We carried pagers and we'd show up we'd self-respond to disasters within the Tri-County area. It got to be some pretty serious stuff. This is pre-9/11, too. Now, just think of the stuff your group will be able to be involved in and get training and get some insight in. Lost kids. We would show up for lost kids, set up our ambulance as an aid station, set up our communications so that ham radio operators would come out and be driving around looking for kids. You know, we had it, unfortunately, there weren't always good endings. Train wrecks, forest fires, mutual aid situations. We'd be radio relay. We'd just go sit up on a hill and relay. Traffic accidents, all this stuff was good training, and we'd show up. And if we got three or four people, we'd put out the call list, and we'd be out there sometimes before them and sometimes after the professional rescuers and professional emergency services guys. Training scenarios, we'd show up. Air shows, we would do air shows. You know, when they every once in a while at the mall, they break out all the fire trucks and the police dogs. We would ask to go along, and we'd get a booth, and we'd recruit that way. And they had no idea. No idea how serious we were about everything. You know, at first it was a joke. Oh, here come a bunch of, you know, untrained civilians. Especially the unions. The unions don't like it. But when you're there, when they've, you know, they're out on a SWAT call out. We did this a couple of times. You know, barricaded subjects. And, you know, we had aid and comfort for them. We had advanced life-saving because we had paramedics in our group. A bunch of us all took an EMT course. Half the class at Riverside City College were ERF, Emergency Response Force EMTs, that we went through. And then our bosses reimbursed some of us for it. Others did it on their own accord because they didn't work for the city. I can't tell you how rewarding it is, some of the things we did. Some of it was tough. Some of it was miserable. I can think one time an apiary where they raise bees and harvest honey caught on fire in Riverside County. We were there for 3 days, mostly because it was a lot of wax, and it burned for 3 days. It was one of the most miserable call-outs of my life. I got stung, I don't even know how many times, 20 or 30 times. We were treating bee stings. We were treating heat exhaustion because it was in the summer. We were hydrating, running IVs. It was great. I was there. And after that, the firemen, the professional firemen, were like, you know, because they didn't know I worked for another agency. I was on my time off. But they were like, wow, you guys are great. You're volunteers. And here I go, yeah, we want to support our community. We worked Ironman competitions, two of them, motorcycle races out in the desert we were called upon to do, and they would make a donation to our group. And we weren't even a 501c3. We just said, hey, thanks. Stater Brothers, the grocery store. We went to them with our laurels. We said, here, we've been doing this for a year. We got this training. We got this. I'm the president of the club. This is my vice president. Here's our treasurer. And what we would like to do is we'd like to get some donations from you that are one-time in-kind donations when they're needed. Let's say we have a major forest fire, and we have to operate a shelter before Red Cross can get activated because there's a lapse in time there. they would just tell us, okay, show up at our warehouse with a flatbed truck. We'll get you whatever you need. And they would load it up with water and food. Sign a receipt. We'd get them a thank you letter. They'd put it up on their wall, and they used it as, you know, tax write-off. They used it as community building. Oh, yeah, we donated 2 truckloads of water and Gatorade last summer to 14 different events. I went into Claim Jumpers. You guys know the restaurant Claim Jumpers? I don't know if they have them everywhere. They are just awesome steakhouses. I went to Claim Jumpers. I met them at a Rotary Club meeting. The manager was there, and I got up and I said what I do and part, you know, how many hats I wore in the community. And he got involved. And one day we had a major urban interface fire. Had to evacuate probably 40 homes and take them to a high school gym in the middle of the night. And they were there for 2 days. They donated everything we needed to give them, like a steak, vegetable, and potato dinner 2 nights in a row. And they fed the firemen. Because it was a write-off for them. It looked great in the paper. When they came in, and here's, you know, this buffet set up, and everything says Claim Jumper. Sometimes it was just Happy Meals. I remember one time in the middle of the night, my little CERT uniform on, my little helmet, looked like I was selling Girl Scout cookies. I went in there and I said, I need 150 Happy Meals for shelter operations and for firemen that aren't going to be able to get food until the morning because they're out all night on a stubborn wind-whipped brusher, as a local media would call them. They weren't forest fires. They were, you know, chaparral-type fires. And we'd take our ambulances over, load them up full of Happy Meals, and just start handing out Happy Meals. Was there waste? Yeah. If we had anything left over, you know what we did? We went to the city park and handed it to the homeless. I can remember doing that more than a dozen times. Nothing better than giving a 3-course steak dinner to a bunch of homeless people. Here, come over here. This is what we got. But then we also stockpiled. We would have them say, hey, we've got a bunch of Gatorade. If you guys can come get it now, you can have it. And we'd rent storage spaces that would be donated. They'd donate the storage space so that they could write it off on their taxes. Even though we didn't have a 501c3, they didn't care. I'd give them a piece of paper saying, thank you for your contributions. So that when we did have a disaster, we had that Gatorade and we had that water. I'm trying to think of some of the big stuff. If we got anything, we got generators donated. We got lighting systems donated, which were really critical for like mass casualty incidents. You have to throw up the light. We could be there before the fire department's own resources were there. Now, let's take it out of the city. Let's put it into your neighborhood. And let's say it is a citywide disaster. Do you think they're going to have enough resources to come out and help you? Wouldn't it be great if you could roll out your little trailer that you got donated or did a fundraiser for, throw up some lights, get all the pickaxes and crowbars out, and start rescuing your neighbors out after an earthquake? Start digging them out. You start assigning people on your street because they're pre-trained to go turn off all the gas lines. Because fire is the second thing that causes the most destruction after a major earthquake. The gas lines go and the electricity. And that's all in the training that I give people. I'm excited about it. And I don't know if you hear it in my voice, but Stacy's been to a Claim Jumper. I didn't realize she had. Chicken and steak, right after a fire. Nothing can make you feel better. And I can tell you, there's nothing more satisfying than being able to do this job, this calling that I have. I don't do anything really well other than teach. But I'm really good in a disaster because, I don't know, there's some things in me that are broken. I don't panic. I never have. And I think that's a bad thing because sometimes it causes me problems. And two, I don't get excited very easily. So I can kind of look at a situation. So I'm like made for this. And I miss it. I miss being able to do this. I'll never be able to do it in public safety again for a paycheck because of what I stood up and did during the Patriot Act. I've been blackballed. In fact, I was surprised when I called him and gave him my information. I said, oh, yeah, you're still certified as an instructor. And we can, it'll take, 48 weeks. And Lou goes, 48 weeks? 48 weeks to get all the materials out here for training. And we're going to start doing it. I'm going to make posters. I'm going to recruit people from the community. And if we only get 4 people from our community up here because of the prejudices against our church, that'll be 4 people that once they go through the training and see what we're really like, that will be ambassadors for the others for the next time we do a class in 3 months. And I guarantee if I start giving free first aid and CPR classes for people, they'll come in because they're people that need to do it professionally. It's a great outreach. It's a great way to show them who the good people really are, who the good guys are. We in the militia are the good guys, but we've got to find a way to grab the professionalism and the media spin away from the evil ones. And this is a great way of doing it. And I highly encourage you folks to do it. I mean, I know Minuteman's, his whole life is dedicated to this kind of thing, so I know I don't have to convince him. but you folks out there, Warland, we found a group in Chico. Lou found a group in Chico. Reach out to them. If you don't like their group, if they're too controlled by the civic stooges, start your own. I don't know if you're a college student or something there. I kind of remember you said something about Chico State. I don't know what your situation is. I tend to forget those things in case I'm captured and tortured for your own benefit, Warland. You got Scotty up there in New York. He's already got a listening audience. Thanks, guys, for listening on the CB radio if it's being retransmitted. The pod people that listen to this, because we have more podsters that listen than live listeners. I've told you guys that before. You get 5 to 10 people together, you've got a CERT team. 2 people is a CERT team. 2 people can save lives. 2 people can change minds and win hearts, because that's what this is about. We are not going to win this war by just insulting everybody like I do every day here on the radio. You know, I made jokes about it in the first hour, but we're not going to win this just by, being tough and doing it on our own. And if we're really about spreading the gospel, what a great way to spread the gospel. What better way to show your love for your neighbors than to figure out a way to save their lives, even though they may not deserve it? I'm kidding. They may not trust you, but you'll be the guy, you'll be the hand in the darkness that reaches in. There's nothing, and it's so, I can't tell you how rewarding it is to be involved in an operation, even if you're not the key person involved. But you find out they found the kid that's been missing in the woods for 3 days. I've been involved in a couple of those that have gone good. The feeling to show up at a house fire when the family's sitting around the curb and nobody's dealing with them. They're watching their dreams go up in smoke. The firefighters are doing their best job. The chaplain's not there yet. The Red Cross, Salvation Army isn't there yet. You roll up in an ambulance, and the first thing you do is you open it up, you set up some chairs, and you say, here's some blankets. Here's a teddy bear for your daughter. Can we get you guys anything to eat? When's the last time you ate? Would you like something to eat? Here's a cell phone. Who do you need to call? Here's a list of hotels in the area. Here's some vouchers. We got vouchers from hotels. We made Red Cross mad because we were cutting into their territory. I literally got threatening letters from the Red Cross. We tried some joint operations with them, but when they wouldn't let us sing God Bless America, I've told you before, we cut off all ties with them. When you set up a shelter, and even if 4 or 5 families come in and that's it, and you give them a place of safety, you set up the big screen, help them with information, you help them contact their insurance, their out-of-state relatives, to let them know they're still alive. That's what being a Christian soldier is all about, folks. It's not about putting holes in the enemy. It's about aiding and comforting our own people. And even if those people may not agree with us at that moment, think about the lasting impact that's going to have on their hearts and on their minds. The next time they say, oh yeah, we heard about those guys up at the church. They're a bunch of militia freaks. Oh, well, yeah. Well, you know, last year during the forest fires, they put us in a house for 4 days and fed us and gave us clothes, got us a car, met with our insurance people. And then when it started to rebuild, they were out there every day helping us go through and sift through and recover what was left. They even showed up with a pickup to help us haul some of the stuff to a storage unit. Because that's the way we're going to do things here. And that's the way I did things with IRF down in Riverside County. I was fortunate because the 10 guys that started, we were all Christians. I was a new Christian at the time. This is back when I was 32 years old. I had a bunch of 19 and 20-year-old guys that I had literally hired to be camera operators for my business, and we ended up running and being hired by the communities that we served. Every one of them is working in public safety now. They're all firemen, nurses, EMTs, paramedics. One's a helicopter pilot for Flight for Life. Out of that core of 10 Christians that we all, our common thing was going out and videotaping fires and disasters. That was how I made my money. And then we realized, let's put down the camera and help out. And we still videotaped. We still did that. But I'm not going to lie to you, it got me in, and I got some really good pictures that I sold to the media, showing the good side of it. Are we coming up on a break yet?
Yeah.
Okay, here's a break. We're going to come back in the next half hour. I'm surprised you guys aren't calling. I can't believe people aren't saying, oh no, don't do this, Dutch. Don't join up with CERT. Maybe you guys are a little more level-headed than I thought you'd be. I thought I'd be getting beat up over this. Maybe I judged you wrong. I thought Olima would be poking me in the eye digitally. Scotty 38. Well, Scotty doesn't ever yell at me. But we'll be back after the break for the last half hour. I'm getting a little dizzy here, so I need to
take some deep breaths and see what we can do. Thanks for listening. Don't go anywhere. Tell your friends. Tell them right after this there'll be replays. Tell them to come and listen to the replay. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch. That's Lou. That's the studio audience.
Hi.
Yeah.
Don't believe the church and state and everything they tell you. Believe in me. I'm with the high command. Can you hear me? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you? Can you hear me? Just inside the going away. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit will guide you and protect you from out of here. Can you hear me?
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun? Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world
order. A new world order. Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, deep burn.
Okay. That, of course, was from the fantastic comedy. You're sticking with Ron Burgundy. You just don't want to switch. You're too afraid to switch boards. Ron Burgundy doing this. Don't. No, stop. 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 There's.
I didn't.
Yeah, don't play that one. There's vile language in that one, Lou. You can't just click stuff you don't know.
Okay? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't. Don't play anything without knowing what it is first. I think you did that once before. Didn't you play something and there was like a swear word in it or something? You got grounded for a month. Remember that?
I misclicked one.
Yeah, you misclicked one. Well, we're back for the final half hour. This is the Dutch I Don't Support FEMA Jones radio program, but I will exploit FEMA. And that's what we were talking about, setting up your own CERT program. You notice I'm not doing this on Liberty Tree Radio. I don't think some of the Liberty Tree Radio listeners could handle this, me actually talking about FEMA in a positive way. And there's absolutely nothing positive about FEMA except exploiting their training doctrine and adapting it to fit your own. And then, you know, maybe getting a little bit of a reputation as being somebody who wants to help the community. Everybody, you know, even people that like being helped don't like FEMA. So you're not going to lose any friends because of it. If you, you know, come out and just say, when I taught my classes, I'd say, look, I'm wearing a FEMA hat right now or Office of Emergency Services, but the truth is I'm here because I live in this community. I'm here because I care about what you guys do. I'm here because I want to train you because I may be gone and you may have to save my wife and kids. So let's just get this straight. I'm not a government stooge. I'm not here to promote any propaganda. Because inevitably, especially after Y2K and after Katrina, everybody's like, oh, they're going to come in and take my guns. I said, well, not in my community, they won't. I would not cooperate with them if they were to do that, and we would go rogue, and we would be fighting with you behind the barricades. And I'm sure that was one of the reasons why I got fired, because I'm sure they sent out people that would survey my course to see if I was sticking to it. Like one time I had, you know, you get people that come in, and they're meaning, well-meaning people, but they're just all excited, one topic issues, and they kept going. This one lady came for like a week training. We were doing shelter operations, and that took a week to do, every night for like 4 hours, Monday through Friday. And she just kept saying, well, I have proof that the Red Cross gave contaminated grain to these people in India. And I'm like, they probably did. And I'd move on. And she just kept causing problems. And she was disrupting the course. And finally, when I figured out what it was, they sent her in there to see how I would handle it. So finally, I go, okay, you know what? We've got about 45 minutes here. We're ahead of schedule. I'm going to give you the floor, and you can get up and tell us, why you hate the Red Cross and all that. And go ahead. She didn't stand up. you know, if that had been me, I probably would have, or one of you people would have said, sure, thanks, Dutch, I'll get up and talk. But they do send people out like that to try and, you know, see how you're going to handle it. I know that we heard that when we were doing shelter operations, there were Red Cross people that came in to see what we were doing, because they'd have their operation up, and we'd have ours, like, at one of the churches that we were working with, and they'd come over to see who supplied the food, you know, how many people we had, and we had people actually leaving the Red Cross shelters and coming to ours, because we had, like I told you, we had steak and potatoes. You go over there, and they were, you know, they were bringing in long storage food that they were just heating up, which is fine. If that's all you got, you don't be, you know, but if we could get the community to step up, why not? Why not? Because in those situations, comfort food is everything, especially for the kids. Finding activities for the kids to do. Shelter operations is probably one of the most hard things to do and one of the most rewarding things that you can do and one of the most important things you can do. I remember one time it was in Rancho Cucamonga. Because of the nature of the people there, the economics, they all had money. They set up this huge shelter in, it was the Red Cross who did it, in Rancho Cucamonga High School. And I was the only one that went in it. I was living up in Lytle Creek, 30 miles away, and it was the nearest shelter when I lost everything. I walked in there, an entire auditorium full of cots, a basketball court full of cots, a full buffet, showers, everything to my disposal. There were 22 shelter workers and me. There were people that would come in, they'd get their little packet of their hygiene stuff, they'd get their voucher for a hotel room or, you know, something like that, and then they, you know, they'd leave. Because, you know, they had stuff set up. I remember at one point they were giving out, like, if you had a family of four, they'd give you, like, a coupon to go to the nearest Kentucky Fried Chicken. Your shirt's unbuttoned. To go to the nearest Kentucky Fried Chicken to get, like, a whole meal and stuff. And these people had money, so they just either went to friends' houses or went to hotels. You're getting vouchers for Motel 6, Super 8, that kind of stuff. And a lot of the people in Rancho Cucamonga did not want to do that. But there were folks there. They were mostly homeless folks, because I recognized them, seeing them hanging out. They came in, oh, yes, I got evacuated from my home. Well, what's your address? And they just give an address and say, okay, here. They get a voucher. If you had a family, you got a hotel voucher. If you were a single dude like me, they just said, well, there's a cot over there. So I had to go way off in the corner, and it was funny. I had brought my own cot, too. And so I went and put that back out in my Suzuki. I brought my own food. I had a backpack. I had everything I needed. And all I wanted to do was get someplace to get cleaned up, because I had been fighting fires that whole day with my neighbors and stuff, and I was just a mess. And I was actually forced out of the area by a highway patrolman. He wouldn't let me go back up. That's why I have this, probably the pivotal point why I hate highway patrolmen, because that guy would not let me go back up. I lost my RV. I lost a lot of stuff. It all burned in the fire. Lewis, Lewis, you are so lucky we don't have modern digital smell vision or whatever for this thing.
What is that? It smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
Oh, Lou. I'm sorry to share that with you people, and I know it's crass, but I can't see now. I've been temporarily blinded. Ah. I think when we build the new studio, you're going to engineer from your bedroom, and we'll just run cables, and we'll shut the door, and I'll have, you know, we'll put a window in the door, and I can look at you, and I can get the hand signals or something. Oh, son. you're not even apologetic. Oh, okay. Anyway. Shelter operations. If you don't have a facility to do it in a park. During the Northridge quake, we set up shelters in city parks. We had Big Five donate tents, little dome tents. You get three, four, or five people in a tent, or a family get two dome tents. We'd hook them together. We set them up. We had a couple hundred people in a park there in Northridge when we responded. And Northridge was 60 miles away from where I was at. We woke up in the middle of the night, middle of the morning. We heard the earthquake. I called my buddies. I said, let's go. And we, you know, found surface streets because the freeway was collapsed. And we got there. And we had shelter operations set up before Red Cross, anybody else. And we were conducting moderate search and rescue before the fire people were coming out. People say, hey, this house, I haven't seen my neighbor, that house is down. We started cribbing. We pulled a few people out with her. We responded with about 22 people, and we were out there for 5 days. Called our bosses. It was like being in the National Guard. Hey, yeah, Olimar's got it right, Lou. But we would just say, look, we're called out. And most of our bosses were cool. And since I worked in a fire schedule, I was, you know, I'd work 4 days and be off for like six and work 4 days. It was really weird. I was on call for video work, but that's where they wanted me anyway. And because of mutual aid, a lot of our firefighters were out there anyway, and we hooked up with them, and we ended up providing food and shelter for the firefighters. You know, rehydration, we were giving them oxygen, you know, all kinds of stuff, running IVs. You know, so because we had complete cribbing and, you know, equipment for like two crews. And plus, and for those of you who don't know what cribbing is, it's like if you've got a collapsed structure and you got to move debris like a refrigerator, you lift an inch, you crib an inch. You lift the refrigerator an inch, you stick some wood under it. We ended up using just what was around us from the debris field, you know, from fallen structures. We the only firefighting stuff we had was hand firefighting stuff, but we all knew how to man hose lines in our group, and we took turns. We worked in shifts, we slept, we brought our own gear. Every person had to have their own gear to take care of themselves. We didn't want to put a burden on anybody else. We didn't want to have to go to the Red Cross and say, hey, can we have this? We had our own communication system set up. We had a satellite phone, but we didn't let the civilians use that. I don't think we ever used a satellite phone. I think we may have tested it every once in a while, but it was like so expensive. But let's say, for instance, we had some father who was just going nuts and he couldn't get a hold of his wife or kids. We would have let him use it. The other thing we did was damage assessment. We're going to end with that. Some of the things that you can do to augment your local emergency damage assessment. If you've got people that are involved in ham radio and cameras and that kind of stuff, you can do what's, you know, amateur television. You can drive out into an affected area and send a signal back to a tactical operations center so that the emergency services people don't have to rely upon the media. And you can show them exactly what the situation is. You can give them a 360-degree. We stuck a guy up on top of one of our ambulances with a camera, and they could see the stream over slow scan amateur radio frequencies. What was that? Yeah, I didn't break out my protective mask yet, and it doesn't really work for the smell. It only works for contaminants. He's grinning at me. I think he's proud of himself. Yes. And the studio audience has passed out. See, I just have I've built up a tolerance. But damage assessment, doing windshield surveys of like major, like flooded areas, fire areas, will help in the deployment of resources. And if you're if you've got a four-wheel drive and you've got the amateur rig set up, even if you don't have a camera, you can still relay back. So yeah, we're out here at Cherokee Oaks. We've got about a 40% loss of structures. There's about 40% of the structures are down, fully engulfed, taken out by the flood, whatever it is. We have walking wounded. We have masked people out here. They're kind of helping themselves, but they're going to need some help. Just doing damage assessment, never even getting out of your vehicle. You can have, like, the Red Cross has their ERVs, their emergency response vehicles. You show up and you hand out little packets, survival packets, you know, a bucket with cleaning stuff, whatever it takes, depending on what level you're at in the disaster. You could train just to do that, just to be the eyes and ears and communication for your community. Now, I'm gearing ours. Like I said, we're out of the city. I don't know why. Well, that's funny. You folks in the cities, especially if you're in the cities, you should be doing this so you can get keyed in and learning and learn what their plans are. Because usually you're going to end up finding out what we found out. There really is no plan. You're on your own. And they used to say 3 days, now it's a week, even in the cities. We're told it's going to be weeks before they get to us up here in a major event. They shut down our ambulance service. Our fire crews are seasonal. There is a park service fire crew, but they're only for things that happen in the park. We're on a stretch of road that's pretty straight. It's not a windy mountain road, but people drive like morons. And it wouldn't take, you know, a couple of the fuel trucks coming up here and delivering fuel, a food truck or two, to shut down our road for an extended period of time. Let's say, for instance, we get, because they're doing all kinds of weird things in the park, chemical trucks coming in, who knows what they're doing up there, subject for another show. But they crash in the right spot, and we're stuck here for a week. And the food on the shelves here disappears fast. And something that we need to... Mom's embarrassed. You need to do an assessment of your community that you're in. You need to do a pre-damage assessment windshield survey. If you're living someplace that's highly industrial and there are Lord knows what kind of chemicals around you, you've got a major problem. If you're by a rail yard, if you're by a major trucking depot for chemicals, you need to start practicing and researching the weather patterns, seasonal shifts in winds, because you can tell, like with this training, what I do is I'll train people to, you know those placards you see everywhere? The hazardous material placards? But 90% of you have no idea what they mean. I can teach you that. And I learned it through FEMA and the Fire Academy, an 8-week fire academy. You can learn it just by going to the website Lou put up. There's a whole section on just learning what those hazmat symbols say. And you need to know. You need to know. You need to look for overhead power lines, overpasses, bridges. You may be isolated. You may be landlocked in a major earthquake. A riot. Let's say it's human-made. A riot may cut you off. So pre-planning is everything. If you're deciding to stay in these communities, I can't think of a better way to prepare than this CERT thing. It'll allow you to recruit more people. It'll allow you to do a size-up of your community, be involved with public safety on an above-the-board measure. You don't have to tell them you're a militia. Don't even bring it up. Simply just go and show them that you're a Christian. You should be a Christian first anyway, and you want to help out. It's going to expand your role in the community. It's going to expand your training more than you're going to get sitting listening to me. And I guarantee you 90% of the militias out here won't even touch this stuff. Not because they're afraid of anything, but they're all just focused on combat arms. And I'm not knocking them for it. I mean, it's good. For God knows, we got people here that shouldn't be allowed to carry a weapon, and the only way we're going to find that out is if we train with them. And we can nip it in the bud. Okay, guess what? You're going to be a nurse. Or guess what? You're going to be doing this role. You're going to be involved with logistics because you can't carry a weapon. I mean, everybody should be carrying a weapon, but you know what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down. And through this type of training, and plus your skills, these type of skills are perishable. I don't know where Minuteman went. I was kind of expecting some input from him on this one, being that he's a professional rescuer type guy. What better way to train than every couple of months get called out on a training exercise from in your community or being called out on the real deal, especially if you live in a place like California where there's all kinds of stuff. There's so many opportunities to serve here in Central and Southern California. I don't know about Northern California. We don't hear about you guys up there. That's probably better. You never hear about, massive mudslides or fat. It's like you're in a, and we always say it, you're in a completely different state there. God bless you. But down here, we've got fires going on now here that have been going on for 2 weeks in this region. They're in secluded areas. They're not endangering anybody now, but it happens. The fuel loads here, we had a really wet spring. We've had a mild summer. Now the heat's picking up. Maniacs will come out, set some fires. We'll get lightning storms here coming up next month. September, isn't that when it starts to rain again?
This year?
Man, I'm hearing something howl out there. What, those coyotes or what?
This year's different.
Yeah, the weather patterns this year is completely global warming.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be next week we'll have thunderstorms here. Yeah. Thunderstorm strikes, fire. You've got to be a well-rounded Christian soldier. You can't just be focusing on the spam bullets and band-aids. Hopefully you've got that all squared away now. Now let's talk about expanding your group, expanding the mission of your group. And as we go through this, I'm not going to hit it every day. I mean, this will be the last time you hear about it for a couple weeks, but I'll give you updates on what we're doing. And of course, oh, it's a cow. There's a cow outside the window. It's one of the calves yelping right outside the window. Somebody probably hit it out on the road. I hope not. It'll make a mess for whoever's driving the car. Yeah, that's a calf right out here. Mooing for mommy. But this is an opportunity, go ahead, let it pass. But don't cry to me later when you say, oh, I didn't get any training. I don't know where to go. That's the worst thing I hate when people who have been with the show a long time go, well, what do I do now? Here's an opportunity. Think of it as, okay, let's say you're scared to death of the New World Order, the FEMA, the Obama brigades, all that. Just go out of your way and go undercover. I knew some guys that did that. They go, hey, I'm just here to find out where the camps are. Well, we're not involved in that, but welcome. But let's say you get with a CERT group long enough, you start rubbing elbows, you find out about the terrorism early warning groups in your community, called TEWGs, terrorism early warning groups. Ask to go to them. They invite civilians. That's when you learn where the camps are. They won't call them camps. They'll call them relocation centers, focus centers for casualties, that kind of thing, inoculation centers. The reason I got to the knowledge level that I have now is because I took risks, sacrificed my time, and volunteered for these things. Not everything I did was a paid job. It led into a paid job, and that was a blessing from the Lord. But it all started out volunteering. I was the guy that was out there videotaping disasters, car wrecks, fires. And I started to learn the terminology, started to know who the players were, and I started to get more active. It was an easy way to slip in and save some lives, do some righteous things, and figure out who the good guys and the bad guys are. Why anybody would not want to do this, I don't know. I mean, unless you're a felon or you're completely wanted. I mean, I'm taking a risk, you know, reestablishing ties with them. If there really is a list and I'm really on it, they're probably going to use this to find out exactly where I'm at. But you know what? It's worth the risk to do something good for my community and do something good for my church. And you should have that same kind of attitude, unless you're a complete lone wolf. And you know how I feel about that. You know how I feel about that. Doing what we can for our community is the best way to change our nation. It's the most effective, most efficient way to do it. I think getting out, filling some sandbags here and there, looking for a lost kid will do far more than voting in every single election that comes down the pike.
Yeah.
Especially here in California, because we have an opportunity to, we get disasters all the time. California's getting spanked hard. And anything we can do to get a little bit of inner circle intelligence will benefit us in the long run. And we may find out that a lot of the public safety people, maybe I'm wrong about them, maybe they're patriots too. Told you about my conversations with that soldier over the weekend. But how are we going to know unless we get out there and we put out some probes, put out some feelers and find out? So I want you guys to email me, my email, because I guess people don't want to talk about this. I understand that. I get more emails. It's funny, if I had 1/10 of the people that email would get on the air, I'd never be able to talk. Remember, the email is DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. I really request your feedback on this. In fact, I'm demanding it. If you think it's a bad idea, I want to know. If you don't want to call me on the phone and tell me it or tell me in the chat room. I would rather fill sandbags than vote, Warland says. Yeah, I think you'd do more good. You know, I really want feedback on this. And hopefully as we grow, I mean, I told you, we just heard today that the fire truck has been obtained. I don't know where it is, but I think it's been allocated for us. That's our first big thing. We want the fire truck. We want the training. And we're not going to go out, you know, but if we see the guy across the street, we see a fire on the hillside on a logging trail we can get up, darn sure we're going to get up there, but we're going to train first. And we've got resources. We've got several firefighters that love this church. What I know is just the basic stuff I learned in the 8-week academy and fought a couple fires. I've faced the beast in a couple houses, but I'm not a professional firefighter. I'm more of an EMT. I love doing head-to-toe assessments. I love transport. I love stabilizing. I love being an aid and a comfort to people rather than fighting fires. But, you know, we'll do what we can. And think about it, once if we do that, then the next thing you know, we get another fire truck, we get an ambulance, we start taking care of our neighbors. We've got a Christian Covenant community. And those of you folks that have been listening to me and, you know, thinking maybe I should look into that, maybe I should move up there. Wouldn't it be great? We get our own community, we secede from the county, we become our own township, we elect a mayor, we elect a police chief, a fire chief, we deputize everyone over a certain age to carry a weapon and enforce the codes and the laws of our little community. This goes hand in hand with that grand plan. I tried to make a poem there and I messed it up. It's a duty we can't turn down. It's the way these cities were founded in the pioneer days. Do you think they went to the federal government and said, hey, send us a fort full of soldiers? No, they did the work themselves. They brought with them the skills. Unfortunately, we've lost the skills, so now we've got to go back and figure out how to recoup them. And this is a great opportunity. I'm surprised I didn't get more comments. I thought I was going to get people, no, don't do it. Maybe you guys either agree with me or you think you're going to leave a fool to his follies. Well, whichever it is, you know, I do want, you know, if you don't want to talk to me and confront me on the air, do it in the email. You're not going to hurt my feelings, but, you know, or if you want help with it, if you want me to direct you to some. I got one guy right now. I'm here to help you guys. Take advantage of it. I just gave my cell phone out to a guy today because he wants to build his own radio station. He wants nothing to do with the Dutch Jones radio show. He thinks I'm a little harsh, but he loves the thought of spreading the gospel from his local church. God bless him. Just because he doesn't want to run my show doesn't mean I'm not going to help him. So if you want to reach out to me and you don't want anything to do with CERT, but you want to find some other ways to do it, I'll let you know. Well, we're going to cut out of here. I hopefully have some great, what is it, Malibu chicken, Baja chicken, whatever Stacy made for us. Thank you for your prayers. My cold is doing better. We just reset the pitch in. We only got $165 last month, which means we took a beating. We had to take money out. We have no more money left. So if you want to hear us next month, you guys got to donate. And I'm not talking to you people who donate every month. It's time to share it. If you've never donated, now's the time. And you're a listener. If you're benefiting from this message, if you're downloading the sermons from this church and the Wednesday Bible studies, do the right thing and make a donation. Whatever you can do. If you can't use the chip in, the post office box is secure again. Post office box 31. You can get that at dutchjones.tk. Dutchjones.tk. We're not up against the clock here. So I just want to let you guys know I care about you. I pray for you guys. If you got prayer requests, send them in. We do pray for you. I share them with my pastor. You're part of the extended family here at the church, whether you want to be or not. And if you can get a chance to come up here, don't forget about the conference. I'll talk about that more tomorrow. We will keep pushing that because it's almost September. We're going to be doing all the cleaning and everything up here to get ready for the 250-plus people that are going to be here for 3, 4, 5 days. Some people stay a week longer, so we're going to need your input. We got to organize security. We got to organize aid stations. It's going to be a big event. We could use your help. If you haven't already gone to the website, do so. Go to the church's website. You can find that on our webpage. You can download the application, zip in your $50, get a carload of people, and come on up. We need to meet. I need to see you guys face to face. We've been fellowshipping for a long time now. It's time we meet. Make that sacrificial journey and come here. Maybe you don't know. Even if you hate California, you may get here and say, this is where I want to make my stand. These are the people I want to stand with. We're recruiting. The hand is out. The door is open. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, and the computers don't die. And I want to thank Lou for making it possible. Couldn't do it without him. I want to thank Stacy for giving us our snacks, treats, for prepping us for dinner. I want to thank our studio audience for being here. I want to thank just our Lord God, Jesus Christ, for blinding our enemies and making it possible for us to do the show. Tell your friends, tell your friends, tell your friends. Thank you, pod people. Thank you, live listeners. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all you do. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.